After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we recite the creeds of the church together, we state the doctrine of the church. We say what the church has always said about the Father, about the Son, and about the Holy Ghost. But the words of the creeds do not end with statements about the Trinity. After our statements about the Trinity, the words of the creeds turn our attention to the church. After having said of the Holy Spirit in the Nicene Creed, who spake by the prophets, we say, and I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In the Apostles' Creed, we likewise have much to say about the church. We say, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. On this Feast of All Saints, we're going to seize upon a few key ideas asserted by us all in our statements of Christian belief. First, that the church is one. And second, that the church is holy. And I know I could go on and on, but we're going to seize on those two, one and holy. First, let us consider that the church, the body of Christ, is one. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer of John chapter 17 that we would be one as he and the Father are one. He prayed that no real or lasting division would exist between individual people of this body and that in the end all would remain one. And St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Ephesians that they should not pretend to hold divisions as ultimately meaningful, for there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And he elsewhere writes of his firm persuasion about this church, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One church, indivisible. One church, protected in the love of God. This feast day of All Saints, to anyone who might question why it is that the church bothers to cast our memory back, not only to the great champions of the Christian faith in centuries gone by, but eventually also of countless unsung heroes of the faith who simply soldiered on in the church militant while it was their time on earth. To anyone who ever asked why we don't devote our entire attention to the present time, and to the present souls on earth, to our own church militant, rather than to the church expectant who have passed on, or to the church triumphant who are in the presence of Christ, we may say, because it is one body that we're all a part of. And neither death nor life shall be able to separate any of us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that since we are inseparably bound to Christ for eternity, even now, we are also inseparably bound to each other for eternity, even now. We, the saints here on earth, are bound inextricably to all saints, past, present, and future. We are all in Christ, and this is a reality not to be set upon a shelf for some later or more eternal perspective. We are one with all saints as we are one in Christ. We believe in the communion of saints because we exist in a communion of saints, a oneness, a unity. But the church is not only one, it is also holy. And here, In the fervor of the Reformation, Thomas Cranmer made a mistake, and all Anglicans are humbled. In removing the word holy from the Nicene Creed in the Book of Common Prayer, he and many others thought that they were setting right some corruption. They were reforming the creed back to its original wording, and they even had some textual evidence that the early church didn't include the word holy. We know better now that the original wording of the creed states that the church is holy, and so we say it whether it appears in the BCP or not. But what have we said when we say that the church is holy? Have we said that there are some saints who are truly holy, and that their superior acts of holiness overshadow or even cover our acts of mediocrity? Or are we saying that the church is holy because of great men and women such as St. Peter and St. Ambrose and St. Gregory of Nazianza, St. Mary, St. Teresa of Avila, or even because of all saints? Absolutely not. And they would be devastated to hear that anyone believed that the church was holy because of those individuals. The church is holy because it is indwelt by the Holy Ghost, and he is holy. All the church's sacraments are made sacred by the Holy Ghost, and we are nourished by the grace and sanctity shared with us. The saints of the church are saints only because of how deeply and earnestly they welcome the Holy Spirit into their own lives, so that their lives and their various circumstances were lived as lives of Christ, exemplary lives worthy of imitation. And these are lives that, as St. Paul said of his own life in this challenging phrase from Colossians, these are lives that fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. Very difficult to consider the idea that Christ's sufferings were lacking in some way, yet that's what St. Paul says. His sufferings are filling that up. Christ suffered in his time for all of us, but he never suffered in St. Paul's shoes, and he never suffered in St. Francis's shoes. These saints fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ, because we are all one body in Christ. There's no need for distress about these notions, because there is no division between us, because the church is one, and the church is holy, and the church is the body of Christ. In this, we believe in the communion, the oneness of saints, holy, the communion of saints, one holy church. To identify the church by her hallmarks, one and holy, is to say that we believe in the communion of saints. And therefore, today on All Saints, we acknowledge the exemplary lives of those of our body who walked closest with Christ, who feared the least, who trusted the most, who gave their all, and were taken to his side. Because together we are one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And we believe in that day when we too are ushered into the presence of Christ, when we move from the church militant through death to the church expectant towards the church triumphant and the end of all such distinctions, when at the final judgment we stand equally before God and are redeemed by his precious blood for eternal life. We will know then, not only in creed, but in experience true, that the church is one and we have communion, and that the church is holy. Therefore, she is filled shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, with all saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.